Welcome, everyone. Hi, Paula.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Abinaz, how are you?
Good. How about yourself? We can't make you guys a co-host.
I'm not running like my internet is.
Oh, you're good. Yeah.
I changed locations back to where I normally am in my house, and it takes it, I forgot, about 5 minutes to warm up and find the internet. And so I went back into the other room real quick, and then I came back and thought, oh, the bars are there now. Okay.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Daniel, how are you today?
Really good. Just got an early start to the day. Went for a little stroll on the beach, and I'm ready for
my presentation. Awesome. So you are close to the beach.
Yeah, I used to roll out of bed and immediately open my phone and just start answering message after message from my team, and I learned to stop doing that.
Daniel, I cannot hear you. Is it just me?
Yeah, I can hear him.
I can't hear him.
So you can hear Benov, but you can't hear me?
Can you hear me? Paula, can you hear me? No, apparently not.
So I think Paula is the only one that can't hear people.
Yeah. We can hear you very well.
We can hear her, yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
Oh,
can you hear us now?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel, will you say your last name for me, please?
It's Chaim. Have you ever heard Jewish people say L'chaim?
Yes.
Chaim.
That's what it is.
Okay.
That word. So should I run a screen share check?
No, let's just wait. No, we should be good. We should be good. We'll do it. We'll start right on time.
Oh, I mean, just a check to make sure that it works on my end. Or you think we should wait?
Yeah, let's just wait. It's going to interrupt this PowerPoint.
Oh, okay, totally.
The Sorry. Session is being recorded, so we all have to behave ourselves there.
No making up rules as we go along the way, huh?
Right. So when I have live sessions and I'm recording, so usually at the end, when no one has any more questions, I let them know that I'm going to stop share and stop recording. Now, if anyone wants to say anything off the record, now is the time.
And this is all on the record.
That's right, Dan, forever.
Be careful what you guys say about meth.
Yeah. Hello from Greenville, South Carolina, my neighbor. I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, wow. We got 26 participants. This has got to be the most packed Zoom room I've seen in a conference before. Very good.
Jody, so glad to have you here, my dear. I miss you. Miss you lots. Yeah, I think the next time we all see each other at the face-to-face conference, we'll be so anxious to see each and every one of our colleagues running to each other.
I miss the conference days.
I know. Yes, that is something else. So Jody, oh, so you are in northeastern Pennsylvania. Wow. Awesome.
Do you remember that a year ago yesterday, give or take a day, it was 9 degrees when we got started in Milwaukee?
I know. It's so warm here. We are in upper 70s in Atlanta.
Yes, we are in we were in the low 80s yesterday in Dallas.
Wow.
My husband and I went over to Dallas and that's pretty warm. My daughter has just told me that, my oldest grandchild has just been tested for COVID and has been at risk. He's okay. He's negative. And my daughter believes it's a good test. She believes she can rely on it. But she just told me maybe not Thanksgiving because there's just too much going on over there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do y'all find that almost all of your life is recorded now? I'm in front of a camera all the time.
I know.
And they're recording me all the time. And I'm just a normal, regular, average person.
blue skies on 66 degrees in East Tennessee. Oh, I love Tennessee weather. I love it. Yeah. A lot drier than Georgia weather.
I bet the trees have just been glorious in Tennessee.
Yes. Is that Southern California, 66 degrees? That is neat. That's wonderful. We have at 48.
Benaz, it's not automatic that everyone is muted. Is that correct?
Yeah, everyone are muted, yes.
Oh, except for the three of us?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't need to worry about.
No. I will mute myself once I...
I will
session,
too.
Yes. After I introduce the session, then the floor is yours to introduce them. And then while we're doing that, then I'm going to stop this PowerPoint and you can start sharing. Okay. Let's give it one or two more minutes and then we will begin. Yeah, I guess trees, they look much, the colors would be so much better the colors, the contrast of colors are more beautiful once we go towards North Carolina and up north. But in here, colors are not bad unless we go to the mountains. That's where it would be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You're a 60 now, Dan.
So good. Incredible. Yeah, I mean, Amatix clearly has something special about it.
Absolutely. Everyone loves Amatix. I had some people join this session, Dan, 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, where are you? 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay, so let's stop sharing here. And let's see. It's wonderful. Let's give it one more minute and we will fix it. Let's give some more, couple more minutes for folks to join.
We're at 66, the same temperature espoused by many of the people here.
Is that your temperature?
I think I'm at 64 here in San Diego.
Wow.
San Diego's beautiful.
It is. It's like the Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. You been?
I love San Diego. Yes. Yeah.
Here we have a Floridian showing off about their 85 degree weather.
Wow.
Oh my God, we're at 75.
Oh, it's snowing in Spokane.
Oh, I would love that. I think I'd love to be there.
Yeah, we don't see that, do we?
I know. No, not with this weather. I don't think so. I think the warm winter again. So awesome. I am at 2 o'clock. So welcome everyone to the Amatix 2020 virtual conference and McGraw-Hill Day. This will be a 45-minute session with time for Q&A. Since we have so many of you here, if you wish to speak, please raise your hand. To do this, you can open participant panel and look for the hand on the lower left in blue. You can also use the chat box. We constantly monitor the chat box. I will turn now the meeting over to our presider to introduce the speaker. Enjoy the session.
Greetings, everyone from Northeast Texas. We've been talking about the weather, where it's about 80 degrees here today. And whether it's afternoon for you or late morning, we extend a warm welcome and we're so glad that you attended. I'm Paula Wilhite and our speaker today is Daniel Hayem. And Daniel is a drumming, math-loving, communication-oriented, passionate education nerd with a deep interest for bringing technology into the classroom the right way. Thank you so much for attending. Daniel, it's all yours.
Oh, wow, guys, thank you so much for the warm introduction, the awesome reception here at Amatix, and for the accommodation for all the back and forth with my scheduling and whatnot. So I appreciate all that. I'm excited to show you guys. Basically what this is as Paula was saying, I'm a bit of a tech and math nerd, and I've just gotten familiar. Like, I've learned a lot of my advanced mathematics online using various tools out there, even built some of my own. And I'm just here to share some of the more interesting ones with all of you, and hopefully you find a way to integrate it with your curriculum and then with all the other work you're doing. We are going a little faster than usual today because we have, usually this takes about an hour. We have 30 minutes plus 15 for Q&A. So feel free, as Benan said, to just chat in the chat box. Hopefully it doesn't get overwhelming at any point, and I'm going to check it as often as I can. So here we go. I'm going to share my screen and open my presentation. So getting the biggest bang for your buck out of technology in the classroom. It's a good title. There are a couple of, I think, a lot of untapped resources today, just kind of really cool technologies, videos, channels that exist out there that I haven't seen make their way into the classroom. If there was a lot of time, I would talk about each and every one, but the one I'm gonna start, so, you know, Khan Academy obviously has made a way. Poly is a pretty cool polling app. ClassCalc is the app I built that I'll talk about later. I think Crash Course is another good example. But the one I wanna talk about today is 3BLUE1BROWN, which is this this pie creature you see on screen, and actually is the shirt I happen to be wearing once again today. And it's a YouTube channel that really focuses on advanced mathematical topics. They do everything from, you know, fractals to linear algebra, to calculus, to differential equations, to even some like machine learning stuff, blockchain stuff. And all of it is from a deeply visual and animated perspective. And I think the work Grant Sanderson has done over there is truly remarkable. I've actually interfaced before, like spoken to him about like how incredible this channel is and like the ways that people might be able to bring it into their classrooms. I actually taught AP Physics at some point a couple years ago, and I was using a lot of his videos in calculus specifically to catch my students up on what they needed to know. Let's see, we already have some questions. There's people saying that they love 3BLUE1BROWN. Awesome, cool. So good to know we have some 3B1B fans out there. Someone said, I wonder why 3B1BROWN. It's actually because of his eye color. One of his eyes is like three parts blue and one part brown. So that's why the logo is an iris. Hopefully that answers your question. Also, I feel like I know way too much about this guy. cool. So I made a quick like sample collage video here. I'm gonna be mindful. I made a quick sample collage video here of some of the concepts, just as videos. This is not like meant to be like teaching a topic right now, because I just kind of crammed things together. This is a little bit more meant to just show some of his styles, like why I think, you know, his style of teaching is incredible for those of you who have not yet seen the 3B1B video. It's also on somewhat of a fast forward, so it goes a little quicker. Usually it goes slower than this. Oops, that was not supposed to happen. Sorry. Wow, this guy won't move out of the way. All right, let's do this thing. All right, maybe we'll just go to the YouTube video then. Because the interface on PowerPoint doesn't seem to be doing the best. Oops, I have.
Dan, is there supposed to be any audio?
Yes, is the audio not coming through?
No, it's not.
Has it not been coming through the entire time?
No.
Oy vey.
To probably share your audio too.
I think what we can do, wow. Thank you so much for letting me know, people. Just staring at blank animations. Let me try to take out my headphones and see if that fixes it. Let me know if you can hear this now.
This function is changing per unit change in X.
Yeah.
As a first step resolution, we know that you can.
Okay, so let's, lost a little time there, but nothing we can do. Let's start from here. We won't watch the whole thing, by the way. Just enough to get the idea.
What if I asked you its derivative? That is, if you were to look at some value x, like x equals 2, and compare it to a value slightly bigger, just dx bigger, what's the corresponding change in the value of the function, df? And in particular, what's df divided by dx, the rate at which this function is changing per unit change in x? As a first step for intuition, we know that you can think of this ratio df dx as the slope of a tangent line to the graph of x squared. And from that, you can see that the slope generally increases as x increases. At 0, the tangent line is flat, and the slope is 0. At x equals 1, it's something a bit steeper. At x equals 2, it's steeper still. But looking at graphs isn't generally the best way to understand the precise formula for a derivative. For that, it's best to take a more literal look at what x squared actually means. But in this case, let's go ahead and picture a square whose side length is x. If you increase x by some tiny notch, some little dx, what's the resulting change in the area of that square? That slight change in area is what df means in this context. It's the tiny increase to the value of f of x equals x squared caused by increasing x by that tiny nudge dx. Now you can see that there's three new bits of area in this diagram, two thin rectangles and a minuscule square. The two thin rectangles each have side lengths of x and dx, so they account for 2 times x times dx units of new area. For example, let's say x was 3 and dx was 0.01. Then that new area from these two thin rectangles would be 2 times 3 times 0.01, which is 0.06, about 6 times the size of dx. That little square there has an area of dx squared, but you should think of that as being really tiny, negligibly tiny. For example, if dx was 0.01, that would be only 0.0001. And keep in mind, I'm drawing dx with a fair bit of width here just so we can actually see it. But always remember, in principle, dx should be thought of as a truly tiny amount. And for those truly tiny amounts, a good rule of thumb is that you can ignore anything that includes a dx raised to a power greater than 1. That is, a tiny change squared is a negligible change. What this leaves us with is that df is just some multiple of dx. And that multiple, 2x, which you could also write as df divided by dx, is the derivative of x squared. For example, if you were starting at x equals 3, then as you swipe.
So I'm gonna stop that there, although I think the rest of the video, it's got other incredible examples, including taking the derivative of a cube, and you know, you guys can kind of see based on the animation that's gonna follow the same trend. Taking the derivative of sine x, which I thought was a pretty mind-blowing example. And these are things I deeply appreciate, and I imagine many of you who have not yet seen 3 Blue on Brown, or even those of you who have, would as well, because, you know, it's just, I find it to be very difficult to teach these things without animations, and animations aren't abundant or as abundant as they should be. I think being able to use his videos within your class is a very powerful tool, and that's exactly what I did. We got some chat box stuff, so let's see. All right, yep, great. So it's a great explanation for what dx actually is. I remember when I learned calculus, and no fault of my teacher, because there's just so much to cram in there, but we were just kind of told like dx is notation, like this is just fancy stuff that mathematicians wrote when solving their problems. And the whole thing was mind-blowing. The fact that there's a geometric explanation, that there's a reason why dx is there, and that it means a tiny nudge. I thought these explanations were beautiful. Anyone have any thoughts they want to share, any questions they want to ask at this point? Just thought we'd do a little checkpoint here. Feel free to chat in the box if you want, or I think I'll see if you raise your hand. I've never seen a hand raised before, so I wouldn't know. All right, cool, keep going then. So how do we integrate the resource, right? So the most obvious one is to just have the YouTube channel available in your class. Maybe even break it up such that well, actually, this is something I didn't totally plan on showing, but it just came to mind, and I think it's valid enough to want to do that. For those of you who don't know, on YouTube, if I click at a certain time and then I right click at that time, I can copy the URL, the video URL at that time. And so if I go to the 3B1B calculus series, and I am freestyling this just a bit because I feel like it's important to show. And let's say I was teaching students about derivatives and I didn't want to just say like, hey, go to this channel and peruse it on your own, but here, watch these 2 minutes instead. And it'll be really relevant to what we're learning right now. Then I can copy and paste that specific time. You know, when they go to that tab, it'll play the video at that time.
You care about development.
So that's a cool way to use that tool. Obviously you could link the whole channel as well. And so, you know, once you have that, I guess, you know, one of the things that allows is for asking, I think, involving a more abstract layer in your classroom. And an example of that, as you guys have mentioned, is talking about what D means or what dy by dx notation means. And then another pretty powerful application is GIF creation. And I've found some pretty cool GIF creation tools on the internet. And I've been able to just create and easily extract GIFs like this. So this one shows, and this is just a simple GIF that shows the relationship between the unit circle and the actual sine function. And I think that's just extremely powerful. It's something that I would have appreciated seeing tremendously in trigonometry. It's a little slow right now because my screen is sharing, so it's eating up some CPU. And then this is the derivative explanation you guys just saw, right? So like if I was teaching, you know, if I was using an LMS or something to teach this concept in calculus, I think it would be super cool to have this GIF just like right over there, or GIF as some of you might call it, just to explain, you know, the geometric relationship between f of x equals x squared and its derivative. So any questions about GIF creation so far? Questions, thoughts, comments? Next, we'll go into creating one live, which I hope will work given all the sharing and Zooming I'm doing. But I'm going to show you guys how I do this on my computer and how you might be able to do it on yours. Cool, nothing yet. Awesome. Johannes Hamilton says he already does this on his PowerPoints, which is awesome. Good stuff. So we'll try one ourselves right now. There's a couple tools I actually want to show you. This is for Mac. I'm using a Mac, but all computers, all modern computers have the same shortcuts. Whatever the shortcut I'm doing, I'll tell you the name of the shortcut, and then you can just look it up in your computer. So for example, the one I'm doing right now is called Screenshot to Clipboard. So if you had like a PC X100 or whatever, you can type in PC X100, copy the clipboard shortcut. So let me just move this guy out of the way. Maybe I'll move in the bottom of the screen. Yeah, there we go. Let's see. Okay, so I see. I'll be doing them all together. So there's three I'll show you. There's the screenshot to clipboard, which is taking a picture. There's the screen video, which is taking a video of your screen. And then there's taking a GIF directly of your screen. So we have this, so we have this sample slide where I want to put the formula for the sum rule here in the GIF that shows that animation over here, right? So I'm going to grab the formula. I believe I left it here. No, I did not leave it there. Did I leave it here? All right, maybe I'll just go formula for sum rule. Obviously you could grab the picture as well, but we'll do it with a screenshot just to, there we go. We'll do it with a screenshot just for, wow, the quality is gonna come out really bad, but I do wanna show you guys anyways how to take a screenshot. So I would do the shortcut on Mac, and I'll go back to the page so you guys can see it. It's Shift Command 4 to bring up this little guy, which lets you take screenshots. And then if you take the screenshot normally, it'll go down here, and you'll be able to copy it, et cetera, et cetera. But what I like to do is if you do Shift Command 4 and then grab the screenshot and hold Control while you take the screenshot, it goes directly to your clipboard. And to me, this is an insanely powerful shortcut. It lets you get pictures from anywhere on the internet very quickly. You just paste it directly anywhere else. And then we're going to, so that's a screenshot. A screen video, which I won't actually show an example of, would be Command Shift 5. And again, I'll send you guys, or Immatic will send all of you guys the slideshow. So you'll have all of these, you know, names and command shortcuts at your disposal. But Shift Command 5 is how to take a screen video. So if I press record, it'll start recording, but I don't want to do that because it might eat up too much CPU. And then the last thing is the GIF. And so there's no native, so there's no like computer command to take GIFs, but there are software you could use. And what you would use is, you know, on any computer, you would look up that computer's name, like Windows GIF Maker. I looked up Mac GIF Maker, and I found this awesome, awesome tool called CAP. That's K-A-P. I'll show you guys how we're setting up.
The difference in the value of F between those two places is what we call DF. And when you picture it like this, I think you'll agree that the total change in the height is whatever the change to the sine graph is, what we might call D sine of X, plus whatever the change to X squared is, DX squared.
So that's the sum. The sum rule I was talking about. And if I wanted to take a GIF of that, I would search for CAP, right? So I'd open up the CAP software. And on Mac, the way it works is it opens and it just leaves an icon over here. And you'll see this thing that means record. So what you do is you just drag the part of your screen you want to GIFify. And then you press record. So now I'm GIFifying. And then I just press play to actually play the video.
The difference in the value of F between those two places is what we call DF. And when you picture it like this, I think you'll agree that the total change in the height is whatever the change to the sine graph is, what we might call D sine of X, plus whatever the change to X squared is, DX squared.
And then I would click this to stop it. And there's my GIF, and I can kind of crop out the beginning so that it doesn't have the part where I'm like playing the video. And this is something I might show my students, and I would export it, and I would just copy it into, I won't do this now just for the time, but I would export it, and I would just copy it into the presentation. And so this is a really cool tool, I think, to take anything from the internet and turn it into pictures and GIFs and little snippets so that you can actually integrate it within the flow. You sort of customize it to the flow of your you know, lecture, discussion, your teaching. One thing we're considering doing at ClassGalc, we're thinking about how to build a repository where people can kind of do this for each other and like share their knowledge. So if I would create a GIF of this right now, I can just upload the GIF and you would be able to look it up, you know, some rule GIF, and it would already be pre-made for me. So if you guys think that would be interesting, feel free to let me know in the comments so we can think on how we're going to do that. But right now at ClassGalc, we're doing a lot of thinking on how can we make like animations as robust as possible, as accessible as possible, and sort of do crowdsourcing so that people can share the things they build. And we got 7 messages. So I'm going to check on that real quick. Oh, beautiful. I love this. You guys are helping each other. All right, cool. So for those of you who are tuned in on the chat box, there's talk of how to use snipping tools and whatnot. I'm going to leave my email here. It's just dan@classgalc.com. Feel free to send me a message at any point. And I'm happy to help you. Even though I don't have a PC, I can probably help find snipping or GIF tools or whatever you need for that. All right. So that concludes the 3 blue 1 brown section of our discussion. The next section is showing you guys ClassGalc, which is a tool I have built. I guess just to be so what ClassGalc is it's a powerful sort of calculator, math, and animation tools. The whole idea is that it's supposed to be a 21st century of what the TI is. So graphing is upgraded, visualizations are upgraded, and it's supposed to be as accessible as possible. So we integrate with software partners, we have it on the phone, we have it on the computer. The special thing about ClassCalc is that it's got a lockdown, a browser built into it. So you can like lock students on the phone during class and tests so that they're not cheating with anything other than the calculator, like they're not using anything other than the calculator. Some people use that, you can use that remotely. For some of you, that might make sense. For many of you, I know that, you know, it's been hard to control the environment remotely. And so we're not thinking about that much, and we're waiting to get back to in-person school. So that's where it might make more sense. But what I wanted to focus on today is more just the math tool itself. So I'm going to open up ClassCalc, the calculator right now, and show you not only the calculator, but sort of just tease at where we're sort of heading with our thinking, with what we want to do, how we want to bring, you know, math and graphing visualization to the 21st century. There's a couple of things I'm going to focus on while I'm here. So this is the interface of ClassCalc. You've got your inputs on the left, you got your graph in the middle, and your keyboard on the bottom here. Got more chat stuff. Cool. So there's a couple of things I want to focus on today, and feel free to throw any topics out there, like, can I do this, can I do that? Feel free to throw it out there if you guys want to see it. But the four things I'm going to talk about real quick, and let's do it. Let's start with the matrix animation. So I'll talk about the matrix animation. I'll talk about statistics because we have a huge statistics suite. And I know that's a deep sort of need in community college right now, like a good stats calculator. And I think that's what we've built and are continuing to build. I'll talk about calculus and symbolic calculus for a bit. And then I'll talk about our new graph sharing feature, which I think is really cool. All of this is free. So if any of you guys go to classcalc.com/graphing right now, and when I say free, I mean free, no strings attached. There's no, you know, freemium upgrade for the calculator. Like anything calculator related is free now, free forever. So here's how you switch between the calculators. We have scientific, graphing, matrices, four function calculator. And then we have this new thing we added recently. It's actually an open source library we've been playing around with. It's a matrix animation library, and surprise, surprise, it's influenced by 3B1 Brown. So this is what 3B1B uses in his, or Grant Sanderson, I guess his name is, in his matrix animation series. And someone really cool named, I forgot his name, but I want to give him credit. What's his name? Shad.io. Shadnan, I guess is his full name. Went ahead and built this cool open source tool that basically takes Grant's 3B1 Brown's matrix animation tool and turned it into an interactive tool. And so what you can do here is, so you got these things you can turn on the bottom. So you could show the input output vector, right? And then we have this other thing we could show determinants, eigenvectors, and also snap it to grid. But I'll just leave the input output vector now. And then we can set our basis vector transformation matrix using this green and this, the green and the red dots. So maybe we could put the red dot, maybe we could take our input vector, make it something like that. And we could take our red guy, put it here. We take our green guy and put it here. And so you could see up here what that means, right? We have this matrix.
Our lunch is almost ready. I don't know if it's going to be good or something we just throw out. I'm trying to.
And then what you do is you take this slider and I dragged this. But you take this slider and you can animate it, which I think is super cool. I never got to see matrices. Never got to see matrices represented in this way, which I think really helps students visualize what the point of what it all means, what all these matrix multiplication and vectors, what that means, at least in a visual sense. And then you can add the determinant. And I mean, for me, it was mind blowing to know that the determinant was just the change in area for the basis vector transformation. Eigenvectors, I think it's a really nice, maybe there are no eigenvectors in this case. I thought eigenvectors were a really nice explanation. There we go, we got some eigenvectors. Just, you know, basically the grid lines that don't rotate in any way. So this is a really nice way to take, and not to teach them the formulas and whatnot, but to take the very complex topics and matrices and make sure they actually understand it, which is exactly what 3B1 Brown kind of is intending to do. So And this is kind of built on his, once again, his linear algebra series, which if any of you guys want the link to, either feel free, I know some of you already know it, so feel free to share it in the chat right now or feel free to ask me after. Let's see, we've got three chat stuff. All right, Patrick is pumped. Yeah, Patrick, feel free to make use of it and send me any feedback. I'd love to hear. We're going to continue building on that tool. So we're going to make it our own and change things around. Please feel free to send any ideas my way. Oh, Kim Hass is here with us. One of our awesome stats users talking about using ClassCalc for stats. So let's do calculus real quick and then I'll get into stats. So our calculus suite is just kind of, it's pretty straightforward, easy to use. I'll show one quick example. So if I was to do like an integration, if I could take the integral of like 5x squared, that would give me 5 over 3x cubed or 1.666x cubed. And then you have your actual symbolic graph visualized here. Then if I want, I can plug in boundaries into the integral and it'll actually give me the original parabolic function, highlight the area under the curve and give me the numeric value. So yeah, feel free to make use of this. You can do the same for derivatives. We do have, I know a lot of people ask us about sliders. I'm personally so excited for that feature to come out. We're releasing it in our next release. So you'll be able to do a lot more with that, obviously. But you can represent things with variables and constants right now. So if I take like a equals one and I can change a to, you know, negative one to see what changes, and I can change it to negative 10 to see what changes. But eventually that'll just all be a slider. The rest of this stuff, like, you know, building a function like sine x or, you know, setting it as f of x and then evaluating it, like you can do that, right? You can even build like two functions and then, you know, manipulate them like however you like. You can transform them. So ClassCalc's sort of number and symbolic recognition is very powerful. I encourage you guys to make as much use of that as you'd like. We have tables and lists, which I'll show. Are we up to stats? Yeah, I showed calculus. Yeah, stats. So for stats, the basis. So that was calculus. I showed you guys some algebra. We've got stats as well. And again, you have this keyboard here, and you guys are always free to use it and type stuff in. I just like typing directly. Couple of quick shortcuts, and this is recorded, so feel free to watch it again later. But if I wanted to do something like 5 plus, I could type in sine. 5 minus is dash 2, close parentheses again, slash for divide, 4, shift 8, asterisk for multiplication, shift 6, which is the caret for the exponent. So that's just the, and then the rest of the functions I'm just typing in. So let's create a list. So the basis of a statistics is lists and tables. So I can create a list like A equals 1, 2, 3, or B equals 2, 4, 6, .. 60, right? And that'll just create a 30 item list. And then I could use these with various statistics functions. So I could do like mean of A, median of B, or one var stat, which is 1VS of A. And just to show you guys where this is coming from our stats menu. So under the stats menu, you have basic functions, mean, median, mode, variance, sort, median, average, deviation. Under advanced, you have your regressions, linear, polynomial, exponential, one var stat, two var stat. You have distributions and plots, normal, T, binomial, Poisson, histogram, dot plot, box plot, normal probability plot, and then you have hypothesis testing, z-test, t-test, one prob z-test, one prob z-interval, ANOVA, et cetera. So that's where I'm getting all that from. I'm just using shortcuts for those functions. We've got some quick chats. Let's see. I guess I'll show you guys like one or two more functions and then we'll wrap things up. So you can create tables in ClassCalc and, you know, you just kind of populate them. And tables work the same as lists. So I could do like mean of X1 over here, and it'll grab the mean of that row. But they also, the difference is they also plot the dots. So they're very useful for like regression. So if I did like linear regression, so LIN for linear regression, I can plot X1 and Y1 in there. And it'll regress it for me. It'll give me the line of best fit as well as the R and R squared. You can copy and paste tables from a spreadsheet. So if I wanted to go to this sample data spreadsheet and copy like 40 rows, I can do that. I can copy up to 1,000 rows if I wanted. I'll just do 40 for now, even more than 1,000, and it'll copy all that in there. And then I could, I don't know what happened there, sorry. And then, so I've copied it in there, and I could do something like a 2-sample Z test and then use those rows in there, right? So I can put in my first and second standard deviation and then my X1 list and my Y1 list, and it'll calculate all the p-values for me as well as Z-score and some other metric parameters. The last thing I wanna show is just our share feature. That'll take a minute. Let's say I was doing the normal approximation of the binomial distribution. So maybe I'll do something like N equals 50, I'll set P to equal 0.5 and Q to equal 1 minus P. And then I would do the normal distribution or NDIST of NP and then square root of NPQ. And then I did binomial distribution and I'd use N and P. And I'd use this zoom fit to zoom fit it. And you see that it's the normal approximation of the binomial distribution. What I can do with my students is I can then click this share button. I can title it normal approximation of binome. And I could add a description if I wanted. It's optional, so I won't add it here. And then now I have this either URL or this embed link. So if I was just sharing the URL, I can copy it. And I'll actually send it to you guys in the chat right now. Feel free to open it up on your end and you'll see exactly how it works. I just sent it in the chat. And then you can also embed the link. So if I was, ClassCalc has integrations with like Proctorio, Respondus, any of the proctoring platforms you guys use other than, again, it's all free. So if you guys wanted to, if you guys wanted to embed ClassCalc like directly in any of these proctoring services, you would just use these embed links. And you have some extra embed options under here. So that concludes my presentation. Just 5 minutes over, it seems. I hope that's okay. We already got a couple questions. Let's see, Ben asked a discussion, can you start an impact live? Yeah, I guess I'll just open the, we have one question. This looks similar to Desmos. Yes, it does. That's correct, good observation. Will ClassCalc do 3-dimensional graphing? It doesn't do that right now, but we definitely have that on our roadmap. There is an app called GeoGebra. Let me send that in the chat. Look into them. I know they have really powerful 3-dimensional graphing. I think it's not perfect, but it's the best one right now. So definitely look into them and let me know what you think. Oh, you don't see anything linked in the chat. Yes, that is correct because I accidentally sent that directly to Paul. Okay, here, let me add the link again. There's a link. It looks like Mel Arts is saying that Math3D does a great job for 3D graphing in case any of you guys want to look into that. So I just sent the link to the graph share for ClassCalc. Someone's asking for the 3 blue, 1 brown linear algebra. Let me get that real quick. Wait, Mariana, are you asking for the link to the linear algebra tool that we have in ClassCalc or the linear algebra series for 3 blue, 1 brown? By the way, Paul or Ben, are we doing Q&A? Are they just typing in or are they? No,
sure, you all can. Thank you so much, Dan, for a very informative presentation. Now, if you have a question, you can raise your hand and you can unmute yourself and talk.
Thanks, Daniel. It's 3 blue, 1 brown, please.
Okay, let me get that real quick for you. 3 blue, 1 brown, linear algebra. So this is, let me see if I can find a playlist directly. Yeah, there we go. Beautiful. All right, this should do the trick for you. That's the link to 3B1B, linear algebra series. And again, you can find the tool on, the link for ClassCalc is just classcalc.com/graphing. And then you could use that button in the top.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely, my pleasure. can't look. Mario asks, will ClassCalc remain at no cost for the foreseeable future? Yeah, so the calculator is free now, free forever. Anything you guys saw today, that we do have premium features, I don't really want to talk about it here. I guess because I shouldn't, but feel free to contact me if you want to hear more about like the lockdown and stuff like that, but the calculator is completely free and will always be free. And we also have like a really active support staff, namely me and like two of our other people. So you guys, I'm just gonna leave my email again here. Feel free to email me at dan@classcalc.com. Feature requests, whatever you guys want, whatever you guys feel like doesn't really exist out there that you wanna see more of, kind of like that linear algebra tool, feel free to put it on our radar and we'll try to get it built. Can you use for more elementary classes, like classic graphing for basic algebra, asks Johannes. Yeah, you definitely can, for sure. I didn't go over that with you guys. So we have a tutorial page. Let me share my screen again here real quick and I'll share the link too. So if you go to classcalc.com/tutorials, which I will share right now in the chat, you will see tons of nice little neat tutorials for graphing, scientific, calculus, histograms, regressions, everything you need. So if you go to the graphing tutorial, that will show you all the basic stuff for like graphing parabolas and polynomials and inverse functions. All that is supported and definitely encouraged to be used for elementary classes. My pleasure. Thank you everyone for joining. This is such a cool session. Benaz, we hit 106 at some point.
We hit 116. You lost count, Dan.
We hit 116?
Yes.
I heard the record was 90. Is this record breaking or did we already beat the record?
You beat my previous session. Yeah.
That's incredible.
And actually, wow. I counted 120 if you count the three of us.
That's so flattering. Awesome. Wow.
It was an excellent presentation.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys enjoyed it. It's good. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And please remember, discussions can go on in the post that I, discussions can be started on Impact Live pages. And I put the instruction as to how you get there, and the presentation materials are in special library. If you search for 2020 virtual conference, you can find those presentations in this library.
There we go.
You made it here today.
Say what?
Any?
Oh, I thought someone said that.
That's wonderful.
Mario, feel free to message me if you'd like to learn more about the lockdown. I'm happy to show you. Mm-hmm. I think, Benaz, were you asking for them to contact me via... No. Or can they contact me directly?
Sure, they can if they want to. But I think are you posting, making your presentation available so that you can post it to themyematic.org?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's totally available. Yeah,
absolutely. So just send it over to whoever has been your contact at the AMATIC,
and that's me.
Sit there, and the discussions can begin.
Yeah, I'm not fancy enough to have a secretary just yet.
None of us have. We are all our own secretaries. But send it over to the. I'm sure someone from the conference committee has been in touch with you.
Yeah,
send
for
it
sure,
to I that will. Person, and everything will be taken care of. Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes for everyone. If anyone wants to hear more about the calculator or the like testing lockdown feature, feel free to email me or go through AMATIC. I'll be available. You'll definitely be able to get in touch with me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, should I should I stay? Should I don't know what the exit strategy is here.
It's up to you. I can keep the room for another maybe 3-4 minutes. I have another session that I have to host. So maybe another 3 minutes until 2:45. And then we all can jump into another meeting.
So Johannes is asking if we can email the presentation to him. You're saying he should go to the website to find it?
Yes, they all will be available there. Yes.
Cool. Johannes, is that okay with you? Can you get to, do you know how to get to the Automatic website to find the presentation? He says, okay, thanks. Great.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I can, could I post it here or should I not?
It's up to you, but I would rather the friends, they go to the myamatic.org so that we can start, begin conversations there.
Love it. No worries. I won't.
Yeah.
Saida is asking if the recording will be there as well. I'm assuming yes.
Yes, we will make recordings of all the sessions available too. We are very kind. We make everything available. So yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, all of you, for the time and joining our session. And thank you, Danielle, for your
What a pleasure. Please let me know if whenever the next conference is, I'll be happy to attend.
Absolutely. Next year.
All right, guys.
Same time. Yes. You take care.
Have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.